And
good morning to everyone. Our first case this morning is Silwold versus Grand Island Public Schools. Mr. Stellick, good morning to you. You may approach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Mitchell Stellick. I am the attorney for the appellant, Jade Silwold. This is an appeal that arises out of the Nebraska Student Discipline Act. By way of a factual background, Ms. Silwold, at the time that the events occurred in this case, was an eighth grader at Barr Middle School in Grand Island. On a Sunday evening, prior to school the next day, Ms. Silwold was using her personal computer or cell phone and communicating with other students on a social networking site called AskFM. While she was communicating on AskFM, these students were discussing, making comments about whether or not to go to school the next day. And she had made a comment that, go to school tomorrow, it's going to be hella fire. And then there was an emoji of fire. There was a hearing later on in which she indicated what this meant, but I'll get to that in a second. Following her posting, there was another student who indicated, do not go to school the next day, and then posted an emoji of a gun. And what an emoji is, it's like a small cartoon-type illustration that you can put in text messages and those sorts of things. So this caused concern with other parents at the school. The Grand Island Police were involved, and some students did not go to school the next day. When Ms. Silwold got to school the next day, she was then suspended for 15 days from school. Now, there was an appeal of this decision under the Nebraska Student Discipline Act. And at the administrative hearing on the appeal, which was essentially the basis for the factual evidence in this case, Jay Sold, or the appellant, testified that what her emoji meant, or what she was saying, was it was a sarcastic comment about, you know, school's going to be cool tomorrow, it'll be fun. She admitted that was a sarcastic comment, but that's what the term hella fire apparently means to people that age. And she also said,
do we have anything other than her word as to what that means?
There is nothing in the record as to what that means other than her testimony. There is no testimony from the principal or anyone else as to some other meaning for that word. And I think the bigger concern was her text or her posting in combination with the other students posting with the gun. There was further testimony that she did not know other student or didn't know him well, and her comment was unrelated to his.
Does the record reflect who that other student was?
I don't recall if it says the other student's name. And that was, the name of the other student wasn't the focus of that particular hearing either, because he was not involved. At least at this informal administrative type hearing, the parties knew who the other student was, but I don't recall if that's in the record. The principal who made the suspension also testified at that administrative hearing, and he testified that at the time that the suspension was made, when she had come to school the next day, that she did not present any further type of physical threat or danger to the other students, and that's important, as I'll get to in a second. So our argument is that the suspension went beyond the grounds that are allowed under the Nebraska Student Discipline Act. And there are two separate portions of that statute which can allow for a suspension of this length. A 15-day suspension is considered a long-term suspension under Nebraska Revised Statute 79-256, subsection 1. So the two sections, or the two portions where you can have a long-term suspension under that particular statute are first under Nebraska Revised Statute 79-267, and that lists a number of items for which a student can be suspended for a long-term period of time, but it indicates that it shall be, quote, when such activity occurs on school grounds, in a vehicle owned, leased, or contracted by a school being used for a school purpose, or in a vehicle being driven by for a school purpose by a school employee or by his or her designee, or at a school-sponsored activity or athletic event. The evidence at the administrative hearing indicated that none of this was present. It occurred, her posting occurred on a Sunday evening on her own personal either computer or cell phone, and was not on school grounds or at a school activity or anything like that.
Well, can we fast forward a little bit?
Yes, sir.
The suspension was under 79-264, wasn't it?
That was the argument made by the appellee at the time of the hearing in the district court. But I'll get to why I don't think that's applicable either. That 79-264 is for what I would consider emergency-type provisions, or I would argue is emergency-type provisions. And in fact, 79-264-1B states that, quote, if the students, they can be suspended for that amount of time if the student's conduct presents a clear threat to the physical safety of himself, herself, or others, or is so extremely disruptive as to make temporary removal necessary to preserve the rights of other students to pursue an education.
How do you read disruptive? Does it have to be an event on the campus?
No, I don't think that it would. And in fact, there's some case law that that indicates that, say, for example, if a student has some sort of communicable disease, that would be disruptive, or that would be something that would be grounds for removal. So I'm not arguing that under that particular statute, 264, that it would need to necessarily be on school grounds.
Was there evidence in the record that this was disruptive?
I believe that there was, in terms of students not coming to school the next day, having to have police involved in that, I will concede. But the reason I don't think this applies is what I'm going to get to next. And the statute further states in subsection 2 in 264 that the emergency exclusion shall be based upon clear factual situation warranting it and shall not last longer than is necessary to avoid the dangers described in subsection 1. So I'm not going to dispute that it was disruptive. Obviously, students didn't go to school. However, at the time that we had the administrative hearing, the principal testified that he suspended the appellant, that she no longer presented any threat to the physical safety of the other students. And there's no evidence in the record that indicated that 15 days was necessary to avoid the disruption that would
occur. What would be the right amount of days?
Well, I would say perhaps if any discipline at all was warranted, a much shorter time than 15 days. But of course, my client argues that her part in this action was entirely unintentional, and I don't think that discipline should have been warranted in the first place. But if you were, let's suppose that she was intending to cause some disruption at school. Probably less than 5 days, I would think.
Has this discipline been imposed?
Yes, it has.
So, if you concede that a lesser amount of time would have been maybe appropriate, you've conceded your case, haven't you? Aren't you trying to get her record expunged?
I'm actually not.
If any discipline that can be imposed, you're not going to get the record expunged.
I'm not conceding that there should be discipline. I'm just responding to the question of, you know, if she had taken an active part in this or something that deserved the discipline, what the amount of time would have been necessary under this statute.
Well, are you saying no discipline should have been imposed?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
For what reason?
Don't you concede that there was disruption, though?
I concede that that the police were contacted. There were some students that did not attend school, but I do not concede that her part in that was what caused that disruption. My belief is that the student that posted a photograph of a gun or the emoji of the gun was what caused that. I don't think it was her sarcastic comment about, you know, school being hell of fire the next day.
The problem with sarcastic comments is that people don't understand, sometimes don't understand the sarcasm. So if you're going to make sarcastic comments about fire, that may affect other students differently.
My response to that would be I think that the other students communicating on this website would understand what that term means. That's not a term, obviously, I use in my...
But as a result, the school hired more security and numerous students were withheld from the school. Over 100 students were withheld from school.
There were students that did not attend, but again, I would argue that that was related to the posting of the gun by the other students.
Is that in the record?
That's the reason that they were withheld. The record does not indicate that it was because of one post or the other. The record indicates that it was the result of... I don't think the record specifies which posting it was for.
So you're saying under 264.1b, her conduct was not disruptive?
Yeah, my argument is that her conduct was not disruptive and did not cause an emergency. And I also base that on the principal's own testimony that by the time she was actually suspended, she was no threat to the other students. And the statute does indicate that...
Well, she wasn't a threat because she wasn't at school. Is that right?
She was
suspended immediately.
Yeah, she was she came to school and was suspended immediately. And
based on the fact that they determined she was the one that made the post, is that correct?
That was the testimony of the principal. But again, that subsection 2 of 264 says that the suspension shall not last longer than is necessary to alleviate the dangers posed.
Although your time has expired, would you briefly address the jurisdictional question?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. To do it briefly, the statute essentially indicates service shall be done in the same manner as other actions, but has to be served upon the Board of Education and also have a copy of the petition. That's 79-289.
Do you agree that our case law makes service of summons a matter of subject matter jurisdiction?
In this particular case, I think that we did confer the subject matter jurisdiction because 25.516.01 allows for voluntary appearance to be the equivalent of service.
That's a matter of personal jurisdiction, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but I believe in this matter, I think we also complied with the statute because 25.516.01 allows the voluntary appearance, and the voluntary appearance that was filed in this case by the appellee also indicated they had received a copy of the petition. So I think that we have complied with that, and I think the court did have jurisdiction to hear that.
How does that fit with our earlier case law on subject matter jurisdiction in APA or other administrative appeals?
Well, the case law initially cited by the Court of Appeals when they issued the order to show cause did address the APA. Those do address APA, but they don't address the Nebraska Student Discipline Act. I think this is a little bit different statutory scheme. And so I do think we've conferred both subject matter and personal jurisdiction.
Thank you.
We would ask for the relief that we requested in our brief. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Lust, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Janelle Lust and I represent the Grand Island Schools in this case. Under the Ms. Solwood's interpretation of the statute, it almost would make it impossible for any off-campus disruptive conduct to be disciplined more than a day under the way they want to interpret the statute. I think the facts reflect that not only was it disruptive that Monday morning students were being withheld, the disruption started Sunday night when students who had read the post called the police and the police called the administration, and an investigation began immediately with the school trying to track down who had made those posts.
Counsel, what is the purpose of 279-264 in relation to 79-267? Is the first section simply to remove the disruption? Is it to, in essence, cure disruptive behavior, or is there also a punitive aspect to 264? And if so, where do you get that from?
Okay. I believe there is, yes, a punitive aspect to 79-264 because, first of all, it is contained as part of the Student Discipline Act. And furthermore, it allows for the same type of review if the removal is going to be longer than 5 days as under 79-267. And that particular section is not limited to on-campus conduct, meaning conduct that happened in school or at an athletic event or on a school vehicle. And so I think it presents the proper balance between should the school be in the business of disciplining kids for what happens off campus when it doesn't have an effect on the school environment versus can we discipline on the school environment. And I think the purpose of 79-264 is when there is off-campus conduct, can the school intervene and discipline for that when it has a disruptive effect on the school environment? And I think the record clearly reflects that there was substantial disruption. The administration had to show up 3 hours early Monday morning to do security checks. They called in extra police. By the time students started arriving, they noticed all of the extra police and security on grounds. Texts started going out to parents. 17 students left school. The school received over 100 calls from concerned parents having to pull the administration away.
Do the statutes contemplate some message to be sent to other people who might do similar kinds of things?
I think so, because you can't eliminate the disruption by just saying, okay, we sent Jade home today when she arrived because we found out she was the one that made the post, and good, she can come tomorrow because we don't think she's a physical threat to the people at the school. I think because that statute allows for discipline to last longer than 5 days as long as the administrative procedures are followed, I think it does allow the discretion to the school to determine how long the discipline needs to be in order to quell the disruption that was caused.
How do you factor into that argument the language of subsection 2, which says the exclusion shall not last longer than is necessary to avoid the dangers described in subsection 1. Once the subsection 1 dangers have been completed, subsided, remediated, doesn't subsection 2 dictate the suspension under 264 can go no longer?
I think you have to keep in mind that the first part of the statute talks about, you know, danger of physical threats of the presence of the student, but it also talks about disruption to the educational environment as affecting the other students there. What? And I think as a matter of discipline, not being able to send a message to the rest of the school students that we have eliminated the student that posted a social media threat from the school environment for a long-term suspension because we take this seriously, I think that the school is allowed the discretion to determine how long that suspension needs to be to cure the disruption that was caused.
At the time of the hearing, what does the record tell us that any continuing disruption was posed by this student?
And what I'm saying is there wasn't continuing disruption after that following Tuesday because the students involved were no longer in the environment, so the concern was gone. But if we only say, oh, she's not here today, the school is not going to be able to control these threats on social media, and we're going to continue to have a panicked school environment where kids can post threats and they're only removed from the environment for a day.
Don't you think, though, that based on the subsection 2 language, that at the point that hearing comes, there has to be some testimony of some continuing disruptive effect from the presence of that student or that student combined with others? And if not, I don't know how you reconcile that interpretation with the subsection 2.
And I think the answer to that is The disruption is a different standard than a physically dangerous student who's posing a threat to other students. This is disruption to the educational environment in subsection 2.
You might have evidence that kids were held home on Tuesday and Wednesday.
They were held home on
and
Tuesday.
And does the record show that?
And that is in the record that 4 students continue to not come home, to not come to school on Tuesday.
For how long?
Just that day, as far as I know.
What does the record say about any disruption, other than the student's presence? What does the record say about any disruption that goes all the way up to 15 days?
Nothing. But at the time that the original record is made, I mean, there's appeals going on before the 15th. Maybe not.
Yeah, and if
I
we,
mean,
if
I
we
guess
ship...
the, I guess the first hearing isn't until, you know, after most of the suspension has already been served. So it's hard to say what, you know, the school's trying to cure the disruption to the educational environment, and if we hadn't removed her long term, I think you're asking us to prove a negative. If we had only suspended her 2 days and she's back, well, yeah, then maybe there would have been evidence of ongoing disruption because she's back, but the school did the responsible thing, kicked her out long term, and solved the disruption problem with the school.
Well, let's be clear then about the record. At what point in the suspension did the hearing occur, the hearing under the statute?
Well, the first review is with the superintendent, and I believe that was in 10 days of the original suspension.
And does the record tell us was there any evidence that at that point some school official had any reason to believe that the continued presence of this child was either posing a danger, perceived to pose a danger, was disruptive in any fashion at that point?
And again, I think you're asking us to prove a negative because we removed her because of the disruption, so we solved the disruption problem. She comes back, it's going to be disruptive again.
So,
and I think the statute gives the school discretion to determine how long the suspension needs to be.
So under that theory, the suspension could have been indefinite.
If that's what the school thought in their discretion as administrators needed to happen in order to cure the disruption.
Did any of that make it into the record?
No.
So how do we know what the school administrators thought about the length of the suspension?
I think the record reflects that the principal made that determination that needed to be the length of the suspension initially. That was approved by the superintendent and by the school board. I think that the statute of student allows a review giving the school a certain level of discretion to determine the correct punishment.
All right.
Counsel, does it, the school body's acting as in a quasi-judicial function, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As a quasi-judicial function, don't they have to, I guess I'm coming off of Justice Castle's question, don't they have to have some evidence to support their decision other than just merely the posting?
I think there was testimony about.
Okay, but you said there's nothing in the record to support the continuing disruption. You keep saying that they have to have discretion in their decision. Well, any judge has discretion, but a judge has to have evidence in order to engage his discretion to make a decision. That's my point. So is there any evidence to support the quasi-judicial decision that was made?
I think so, because until she's removed from the school, there was, you know, substantial upset at the school continuing until the next day, until the 2 students responsible for the posting had been removed from the school. And I think once they're gone, I don't know how we come up with evidence that says, you know, other than...
Well, couldn't you have a school administrator testify she was suspended immediately and the level of absentees dropped from 100 to 2 that day, so it's our conclusion that
And that's what happened. She was removed Monday. Monday, the level of absences was 17. Tuesday, the level of absences was 4, and Wednesday.
Okay, so the administrator testified to that?
Yes.
And that was their conclusion?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. On we go to the next case of the day, which is In Re Interest.